Rose, and another question of the week. This week the question is it worth hunting out a manual DB9? And as you'll probably know, they're a very rare car, so what are they really like to drive? Join us in a fantastic DB9 manual. This one's from 2006, has 43,000 miles on the clock, and is in really, really good condition. Exterior paint, internal leather, it's a really tight car, really well looked after, pretty faultless, and it's got a good service history. So in terms of cars that you're likely to find on the marketplace, this one is certainly going to be at the top of the pile, one of the very best. So essentially, apart from the obvious, they are both identical cars, DB9 Auto, DB9 Manual. But what does it mean to the driving experience to drive the DB9 in manual configuration? So the ZF 6-speed auto, which is in Auto DB9, is a really, really good gearbox. And in its day, shifting was really quick on the paddles. And when in D mode, it's silky smooth, just allowing the electronics to control the gearbox through the gears. But that torque converter is consuming a lot of power from the engine. And when you jump in a DB9 manual, if you haven't been in one before and you're used to auto, it's the acceleration that we're about to do now. We're about 50 mile an hour in third gear. And we're cruising along now with a little bit of pedal. We're just gonna press it 3/4, 75%. And that initial tip in, and the way the engine revs, is so much faster than Auto DB9. Driving through the gears, that engine that's much more eager to rev up, the much greater on-throttle responsiveness compared to the auto just makes the drive of a DB9 absolutely glorious. You know, DB9 is timeless, classic and understated looks. 6-litre V12, engine up front, rear-wheel drive, manual. You know, this is the quintessential British sports car layout. Default DB9 was an auto. The manual was an optional extra. You could buy DB9 manual all the way until the 470 bhp model, and those early 470 bhp models you could still get in manual configuration. I think it probably stopped in around 2010-11, and then DB9 was just an auto. So in that Mark 1 450 horsepower DB9, and in the evolved 470 bhp DB9, manuals are really rare. And if you go searching on all the forums to buy one, either Piston Heads, Auto Trader, eBay, then out of the many DB9s that are for sale at any one time, you're only going to find a handful which are manual. Bizarrely, you'll probably find today that the manual, compared to its like-to-like equivalent auto, is going to carry a larger premium than what the factory charged originally when brand new as the optional extra. But you only have to accelerate through the gears on a nice country road to very quickly realise that that premium is well worth it. But like any DB9, as these cars age, you know, this car in particular is on the Multimatic dampers. It benefit greatly from a Bilstein suspension upgrade. When you do start to push it on country roads, it only takes a few brake applications from high speed to get heat into the brakes and then encounter brake fade. So it really does need a big front brake kit. And you know, there's never enough power. So 450 horsepower was good 15 years ago, but this really needs to be modded up to 550. With all those modifications, that would turn this car into an absolute focus driver's machine when you wanted to go for a country road blast. But then offer refinement if you wanted to take it on a long GT cruise. 15 years on from when this car was new, and you know, there's not a lot of criticisms really about this car. This car is an early one, and it's got the old style seats in, which they hug you really well. They hug you better than the newer style seats, and I like them for that. And I think I prefer the looks of these older style seats. But they've got a bar running across the lower quarter of them, which when you've spent about an hour or two in the seat, you can really feel that bar across the bottom of your back. And I've got no back complaints, but that does give me a bit of an achy back. Another minor criticism would be the feel of the clutch. Now, back in 04, this was a twin plate clutch as standard, and it did share its twin plate clutch with the V8, but then the V8 took a different path. The bean counters came in, took the twin plate away, and changed it for a single plate clutch. So this twin plate clutch that's on DB9 is a early version of the twin plate clutch, which has then been evolved into the twin plate clutch that's currently fitted to V12 Vantage and DBS. Now it's evolved for a few reasons, but one of them is the criticism of this clutch, in that from pull away, the feed from the clutch is quite vague, meaning it's quite digital. It's very difficult to modulate the pedal with the accelerator to get a smooth pull away. But because it's a twin plate clutch, its longevity is good. And unlike a V8 Vantage, you never get the smell of barbecuing clutch if you pull away and you've slipped the engine revs a bit. So the clutch will last a long time. It's just a little bit vague feedback when pulling away. But once you're on the move, you can forget about that and just enjoy a manual gearbox with a 6-litre V12 engine.